Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Monday morning. It's the 29th of February, the last day of the month, and for this leap year, and we thank you for being with us. Let us get to our topics, but before we do that, I will introduce our panel to you. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Hey, I read something in the paper, Joe, that said that coffee turns out to be good for you. So it turns out I'm off of it, you know, but...
To you, sir.
Yeah, and to you.
So now I'm glad you're reading this paper.
Slurp.
Yes, so we all are caffeinated this morning. So good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad. So you're on tea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, see, I like tea, but I... But, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Rosemary Mayo is here. She is the she is a University at Albany journalism professor, as well as being an investigative reporter and a regular panelist on this program. And we're delighted that she is here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Mike Spain is with us. Mike is always with us once a week, and today is filling in for Libby Post. And we thank you very much for being with us. Actually, you guys swapped, I think, is how that worked.
I should say I'm filling in for her because she graciously is filling in for
you.
Tomorrow.
Yes, so you guys work that out, and I thank you very much.
Well, it's amazing because I could swear Mike's on. There's nobody better than Mike. We all know that. But I could swear he's on 6 or 7 times a week.
Right, six or seven times.
Yes, that's right.
How often does a show, right?
Chartaki and math.
Yes.
how often do we do the gardening show?
No, it's not the gardening show.
Oh, the pet show.
I love the gardening
show.
Yeah,
the pet
show. I'm not so big on the pet show.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, you know, is this, how many times a week is that on? And they always claim it's on once a month.
Yeah. Claim. Welcome, all. Thank you very much. So let's go to the stories. You know, I remember maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, when shortly after the New Hampshire primary, where on this show, Rosemary Mayo said, I want to see what happens in South Carolina, and if Bernie Sanders is doing well in South Carolina, then I'll eat crow.
No crow to be eaten.
No crow to
I
be
I ate Rugula and babka today. I did not have any crow. Yes, I went to New York City, went on a Jewish baked good binge, and yes, it was a big win for Hillary Clinton, and it's been interesting to watch the writing about it. They acknowledge that, but very limited. They're still not saying this could be it. She does have what they call momentum going into Super Tuesday tomorrow.
Well, and the momentum is quite large in Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
I mean, she is expected, I think it's all but one or maybe two contests where they expect that there is a margin of error issue, but she's leading in most of the
11
12,
states. But,
11
you know,
states, that's
Bernie,
right.
Bernie is no slouch, and I thought his, I would call it concession, but he never even mentioned South Carolina.
I saw him on the air, and he said, we really got slammed, he said, and he was very honest about it.
The speech did not mention. He was not in South Carolina.
In
he did not mention.
No, he had moved on to the next state.
Yeah.
He
was
on
a plane when he lost the election.
Exactly. But I was going to say a compliment. I thought the speech he gave in Minnesota, a state he badly needs to win if he wants to stay in, was it was direct. It was a firm. I mean, you've heard it before, but it was a firm statement of where he stood. And he looked great.
Yeah, and he's still drawing the crowds.
Yeah, he does.
He has a strong following. Except that the campaign that Hillary Clinton is running is really coalescing. I mean, it seems to be coming together, and we'll know by the end of tomorrow whether Bernie really has a chance, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then, of course, there is the ever-present Trump news. And I was going to pick a story to send about Trump, and then I finally ended up sending three because they were all so incredible in their own way. So first of all, let's go back to Friday, where former presidential candidate and New Jersey governor Chris Christie announces his support for Donald Trump. Surprising, shocking many in doing so. And one of the people who came out quite harshly against the governor of the Garden State was Meg Whitman, CEO Meg Whitman, who also was a big part of the Christie campaign, top supporter of Governor Christie's. She is the Hewlett-Packard executive who said he assailed him for political opportunism and called on Mr. Trump's other supporters and donors to walk away from him. Chris Christie's endorsement of Donald Trump is an astonishing display of political opportunism. Donald Trump is unfit to be president. He is a dishonest demagogue who plays to our worst fears, said Ms. Whitman.
Well, am I confusing things, but wasn't Ms. Whitman also governor?
She ran in California
against
U.S. senator, wasn't it? No, governor, yes.
Yeah, against Jerry Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Former eBay executive, mm-hmm. then Hewlett-Packard.
They are certainly circling the wagons now, the Republican types, and they really hate this guy.
Some are caving, like Christie has.
Christie may see his future there, and also he's very angry at the way he was treated in the debates. He thought that they didn't treat him well. And this was his revenge.
This was another mean, venial bully trick, just like blocking that bridge. He didn't get what he wanted, and so he came out in favor of a man who spent the last 6 months bashing.
So can I ask a question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mike, no, go right ahead.
But let me just ask Alan. Start with Alan, then I'll ask all of you. But what does he have to – this can only hurt him?
No. I think he sees this, as I just said, as revenge. I think he's impulsive.
Yep.
It's impulsive to close down a bridge, no matter what.
Alan is right.
Right, but for the same reasons that debacle perhaps derailed his presidential campaign.
He didn't learn.
Right. So this cannot help him in any way
Help him to do what? He's got 2 years left, and then he can't run again as governor. He's going to go into the private sector, I think.
Or
unless he gets some sort of
they make him attorney general. Who knows?
Right. Secretary of State?
What do you say? Because he's such a diplomat.
Right. I think if he does anything, we really ought to get a bridge. You know, one of the little lapel pins with a bridge on it.
The little GW bridge with a traffic jam on it.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's right. That was so bad. But
he did it. Did you see the performance on, I can't remember, one of the morning shows? Stephanopoulos was after him, asking him a question like, explain this. How could you do this? And he was virtually sputtering. There is no good reason for what he did.
He's the first Republican governor to come out and throw his support. And he is ahead of the trend in that sense. And it's good for Trump in the sense that he can be two places at the same time. Two loud mouths going around the country, bashing Marco Rubio.
Well, the fascinating articles that I was reading over the weekend are the conversations that took place between Marco Rubio and Donald Trump.
Unbelievable.
Of trying to get. Marco Rubio and Chris Christie of Rubio trying to get Christie's endorsement.
Couldn't even get him on the phone.
No, he had to leave a voicemail.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's it's really quite interesting. Okay, so other...
Remember who was on the Howdy Doody show? Remember the bad guy on the Howdy Doody show?
No.
The bad guy.
Yeah. Was there a bad guy? Summerfall, Winter Spring.
No, she was the... No, it was Phineas T. Bluster.
That's right.
Phineas T.
Bluster.
It's been years.
Well, even Garrison Keillor had a rip against Trump on Prairie Home Companion yesterday. Not usually a topical show.
Oh, he'll do it.
He'll
do it every once in a while.
Yeah, it was quite a rip. He's gone over the line. Are you going to talk about David Duke now?
Okay, so that you teed me up perfect.
Set you up.
So Donald Trump is on CNN yesterday, and this was just incredible to me. But David Duke, the white nationalist and ex-KKK Grand Wizard, is that a correct term?
Former
called Donald Trump by far the best candidate. So then people obviously concerned about this. The Daily News had a 2 days they ran the cover of a Klansman on the cover and Trump and then Christie having them in the same boat, if you will. So then they get Donald Trump on CNN on Sunday, and he said, well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke. I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists.
God.
Is there anyone in this room who believes that?
No.
No, sir.
How could you be in American politics as he has been for years, and not know who David Duke was. In fact, he's been quoted back in 2000 as saying, you know, saying unkind things about David Duke. So he knew what to say about him. But to pretend he does, he must have a terrible memory. That's all I can think
No,
of.
He has a very good memory. Right. He has told us. So what is it?
When you use peroxide on your hair, it seeps down into your brain.
I think this is my observation. I think the way he was parsing his answers when the CNN guy was putting this to him were being done so that he doesn't alienate anybody who might come out and vote for him. There was actually some kind of a survey last week.
Racist.
Last week, it said 20% of the people who say they support Donald Trump regret that the Confederacy was torn apart and the slaves were set free. I mean, these are unbelievable. He needs the very, very, very fringe to vote for him. And if he spoke out too strongly against David Duke, they might not.
So it has been said, many are saying that he bungled this badly, but it doesn't make any difference.
It's a dog
right?
whistle. He can, you know, you don't hear him say it, but he's speaking loudly to the right. The extreme right.
So, and we should note that since then he has now disavowed.
Okay, disavow it.
Okay.
And did you read how he did it? Some reporters were badgering. Goes, okay, I disavow it.
Right. Like just like
blew
that.
It. Yeah. Oh my gosh, how? And is some local columnist talking about how he could win New York City? Is that true?
Local?
Oh no, that yeah, I heard that. Mm. That he thought that there was that he could win not New York City but New York State.
Over Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
We might vote for him in upstate because we don't like Hillary.
I'm not here to defend the flag. I'm just reporting what I read somewhere. And you know, there are some guys, some columnists who just make this stuff up all the time. Mm. You know, they say, you know, that's the way it is. They make it
up. It's a year of their reputation of unbelievable things happening. So it's easy to predict unbelievable.
Okay, so then. Yeah. So then. Yeah.
Are you weary of this election?
I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. So then, Marco Rubio is then trying to become the establishment candidate. So now his
or
new,
be like Donald Trump.
Right.
Too.
So his new tactic is to go out and be a jerk. Pretty much, and say, "Well, look at this guy. He's tall, but he has small hands." And you know what they say about guys who have small hands, and
idiot.
And it just goes on.
Nah. He used illegal labor. Oh, he's just like a child. I want to put him in his room.
But Joe's point, I hadn't heard that one. But Joe's point is really well taken, which is that when you get down into that kind of gutter, you know,
then we're talking about each other's.
You know what happens? Yeah, you know what happens then. The pig got up and slowly walked away.
Oh, golly. It is a race to the bottom.
It is. So, I mean, if there was any, and for the Republicans, if there was any glimmer of hope that somebody could do well on Super Tuesday or perhaps hold their own, that, I don't know, that just seemed to vanish over the weekend by these sort of withering.
The stories that have come out over the week in the New York Times and Washington Post that are documenting, you know, Karl Rove's effort to, you know, bring a stop Trump effort in the Republican Party. They're just frightening. I mean, you know, one after another, they're kind of dropping off when these politicians, these Republican governors, say they don't want them. You know, and they're now supporting him. Jeff Sessions, the senator from down south, is throwing his support behind Trump. I mean, it's summer now, saying, "Well, it's inevitable, so I might as well get on his bandwagon, so that when he does win, I'll be in good favor."
Or when he doesn't win, nobody will be able to point a finger at me and say I didn't support the Republican candidate.
Right. And yet,
I like the general who said we're not obeying his orders if he's commander in chief, and he says things like kills the terrorist family. That's the courageous kind of stuff I want to see people fighting back with.
Is what Mitch McConnell is saying? Is that courageous of saying that we're going to give Senate candidates the right to run ads against the Republican nominee if it's Donald
Trump?
I'm
not a big Mitch McConnell fan, but I thought that was pretty good.
Well, he's saying they need to distance themselves. These are Republican senators who are facing re-election this year. Need to run ads and distance themselves from Trump so they're not brought down by him.
Right. We don't like cheap shots, but Mitch McConnell does look like a turtle.
He does. Yertle.
How big are his hands, Alan?
we can't say this about Marco Rubio if we do the same thing.
No, no. Marco Rubio is a good-looking young man. He is.
Oh, he's such a twerp.
he's not as tall as Donald Trump. It's been pointed out by Donald Trump, who calls him Little Marco. I mean, this.
Oh,
I mean, it is. It
gosh,
sounds like it
children.
Sounds like adolescence. It does. I mean, pre-adolescence.
Yeah.
You know, name calling. So,
like calling somebody a turtle.
So then, and then I go over and because Trump was on with Jake Tapper, and then I turned over, and I believe it was with, I believe it was on NBC. John Kasich is on there explaining how he is going to win the nomination. Now, tell me. Here's the thing. Here was my takeaway on that. I think he believes himself. I think he actually believes it himself.
He does. Because he sees the New York Times gave him confidence, and he sees how crazy it is. And he is not crazy. He's way right, but he's moderate.
The Times reported that his strategy, quoted a campaign aide as saying, the strategy is to have a brokered convention.
Right.
Yes.
And he denies that, by the way. Officially says that's not the case. He expects to win big in Super Tuesday and then on March 15th take Ohio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and get the momentum going. And, I mean, it looks like with Rubio just kind of cascading downhill, it could be Kasich.
No,
as the
it's not going to be Kasich. And if there's a
brokered
convention, if there is a brokered convention, it's going to be Rubio. Hmm.
All right. So we've got about we got a lot of letters. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and we will get to the many letters and we will continue on with other issues. Although we got a lot done this morning. That's good. So let's we get to a lot of different
all interrelated campaign stories.
Well, they were all
turtle.
Lord, turtle. We continue to welcome your mail, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll continue our conversation with Alan Chartok, Rosemary Mayo, and Mike Spain after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain making up the group this morning. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. And that is, if you opened our email box, you would find letters like these.
Boy, do we ever. And this is from Narcissa. I think one of the issues that people forget to parse in Clinton's win in South Carolina and the African-American vote when they analyze it is that half of all African-Americans are women, and they have just as much interest voting for women for a woman as other women might. We talk of African-American vote as if it's not only uniform without any difference, even of region, but uniformly male. That in itself is racist and sexist. Did anybody here say anything like that? Not me. I know that there are different people in different places.
They're also young, too. We separate the young vote from the older.
Denise from Albany says, panel, if there's a brokered convention and Trump doesn't win the nomination, what's to stop him from going rogue and running as an independent? He's repeatedly threatened to do that if he's treated unfairly. Exactly. That has crossed my mind a number of times. And good morning, panel, says Cody. Is it possible that the entertainment value and comedic fodder produced by a Trump presidency might actually be worth the destruction of our economy and the U.S. falling as a superpower?
No.
Though, if president, he might ban all forms of entertainment except The Apprentice Channel and David Duke Radio.
By the way, was anyone struck by the president of the United States, Barack Obama, saying, look, Donald Trump's not going to be our president? Did you find that interesting?
I thought it was to be expected. Yeah.
What else was the right thing to say?
The sitting president.
Certainly the right thing to say, sitting Democratic president.
I mean, okay.
Tom says, watching this primary season in despair, I'm thinking of moving to Sweden. Please, if your name-calling adolescent comments were aimed at Hillary, your station donors would revolt. That said, Trump is an idiot.
What?
Meaning
you
know, that if we were
we
going
should
after,
not be having so much fun
we
about
not
it.
Be calling yeah, him
yeah.
A,
although he
child?
Then don't you understand? It's a tongue in cheek. He said. Then he says, although Trump is an idiot. Don't you see?
I see. Okay. I see. Okay. I see. I'll settle for idiot too. That's good.
Well, that's the whole point. And Peter says, good morning. Trump was famously lampooned as an avatar of bad taste, et cetera, by the satiric spy magazine in the 80s. They did get under his skin then by referring to him as a short-fingered vulgarian.
For years, he sent pictures of himself to the editor of that magazine, Graydon Carson.
Yes, Carter. Graydon Carter, who's
with
now
his,
with the
Vanity Fair. Right, he's now Vanity Fair with his finger circles.
And
so thin-skinned.
Trump is, says David, is an ultimate political reality TV show, gets all the media attention, so gains more support. Just for comparison, I read Trump gets 50 times the TV exposure that Bernie Sanders gets. Tells you a lot about our so-called liberal, in quote, in caps, media.
Can I say something yeah. about this? I really don't like this idea that it's because of the media that he gets attention. The media exposes and reveals, and watching him should show you why not to support him. So I don't get this idea that the more we show him, the more we win him votes.
I agree with you entirely on that, and I also think that it seems that at least when you watch the morning on the Sunday morning shows, as if the hosts, and I don't want to lump them all together, although I think in this case you can, they're practically pleading with the American people to wake up and
yes,
to pay attention.
I agree with you.
Yeah, people say the media is obsessed with Donald Trump, but it is the big story, and reporting everything is what they've been doing, and
every one of his gaffes and horrendous statements and actions.
Trump
has
University,
been
right? Different.
And I mean, aspects. To the letter writer's point, I mean, Bernie Sanders has run a very good campaign, and mm-hmm. and he has gotten his message out, and I think the campaign has been covered, but. I don't know how you not cover when somebody comes out and
says something really dumb.
Right, makes fun of a disabled person.
The reality is that if Sanders was making personal ad hominem attacks of Hillary Clinton, which he has not, if he was saying slanderous things about her, he would probably get outed for that, and then the chips fall where they may.
Well, also, Mike, Bernie tends to say the same thing again and again and again, and he happens mm-hmm. to be right and right and right. But
it's not new.
As you suggest, it's not new. Yeah. And that therefore, they're going to give the attention to the guy who is going to get people to listen to him.
Well, the Christie endorsement. Everybody was immediately talking about Rubio and how well he did on the debate on Thursday night. And by 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, the whole news cycle had changed. That was a thing of the past. And there it is, Christie up there with Trump.
And he thought that his microphone was off when the two of them were talking. And Trump says to Christie, okay, you can get on the plane and go home. That was great. That was great.
That's karma for Christie.
Yeah. Well, you know, Christie must have gotten back to New Jersey. His phone didn't ring or anything, and he probably felt like, I got to do something to get back out there. I want to be back on the shows, you know.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Well, he did that.
Yep.
So he signed a deal with Satan.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Next letter, please.
Oh, next letter, please. Yes, okay. This morning on the Today Show, Donald claimed the interviews gave him a bad earpiece, and he had trouble understanding the question regarding Duke. What's next? The dog ate his homework? I like that. Okay.
I think he's already used that one, actually. The dog ate his homework.
Oh, boy. Did you hear, says Michael, that comment by Trump to Christie when... Yeah, that's the one I just referred to. Joshua, dear Roundtable, Bernie has no chance to be president, and I think every intelligent person would agree this is a good thing. Backwards socialist rhetoric is for communist bloc countries and banana republics, not civilized first world countries like the U.S. Thanks, love the show. Okay, Alan, Christine Todd Whitman was governor of New Jersey and secretary of the environment under Bush II. She endorsed Marco Rubio after Chris Christie endorsed Trump. She also said she'd vote for Hillary Clinton before she'd vote for Trump. Yeah, you caught me. That's when I said, wasn't she governor?
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
I think she represents a lot of mainstream Republican leaders, you know.
Okay, so Ryan says, my mother suggests that Christie will be Trump's Secretary of Transportation. Get it?
Okay.
All right. And isn't Donald Trump's plan, says Christopher, is that he will surround himself with smart people with the internet age? How could Trump's advisors not have clued him in about Duke and the KKK? Where was Trump when Duke emerged on the national stage? Okay, yeah. Then another one about Christie Todd Whitman. We have such a smart audience, by the way. They catch in every mistake you make. Gina says, if they do succeed in getting rid of Trump, what are we left with? Rubio, Cruz, God help us. I think that's a good point. You know, I frequently ask people the following question who are giving me a lot of, you know, their views on Trump. I say, okay, you have a choice. A gun to your head. Who do you vote for if you have to make the choice between Cruz and Trump?
Mm-hmm.
And they have trouble with it.
Yeah, no, I've had those conversations with people, and I think a lot of people are saying that Trump at least is not an ideologue. He'll do whatever is pragmatic for him, which may not be good, but may be better than getting somebody like Cruz, who is very much an ideology guy, who will go in there and then start turning, you know, the levers to get more radically right, you know.
You know what will be tremendous to listen to, however, I have to say? A Trump-Clinton debate. That would be awesome.
We may be getting that.
I know. I look
forward
to that.
Can you only imagine?
Sort of. I don't really want him to
be misogynistic stuff that will come out of Trump's mouth.
But she could handle it.
I think he'll be very well coached, and I think he'll, you know, he hasn't sworn since the media jumped all over him for you know, what he called Ted Cruz. And, you know, I think he has a level of discipline. He's a businessman. He knows what to do, knows when to hold them, and knows when to dribble them out. And I think he'd be a gentleman in front of Hillary to demonstrate he does have the right demeanor.
Well, as he said last week, it's almost time. It's not quite time.
Not quite.
It's almost time to act a presidential, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he will, you know.
One more letter, then we'll go to a break, and then we'll finish up with other topics.
Okay. Roundtable. So you're saying if Bernie is not scandalous and does not insult his opponents and does not deserve my attention, I think you're missing the point. If Bernie got the same media exposure as Trump, he would win the election, period.
Every politician says
okay,
that.
But yeah. But let me just help you with this as a person who has great admiration for Bernie. There are a lot of people out there who are very angry that Bernie is not doing well. And there's a lot of grasping at straws here, you know, attack the media, attack other people, you know, for this. But, you know, I mean, when you go to South Carolina, who's surprised here? I'm not.
You were not surprised by a 50-point spread.
I
thought that was enormous.
I mean, that was a landslide
was.
For Hillary Clinton.
But when they go to the South, and it really does look like poor Bernie is going to have a tough time in the rest of the southern states for much the same reasons. But anyway, I can understand the frustration of people who love Bernie and who are looking for points to attack.
I think it's important to recognize that when Bernie Sanders goes to Minnesota or when he goes to any state, even down south, and he draws thousands of people, the local media covers it big.
They do.
But he doesn't commit national news until he gets a new message, until he says something he hasn't said yet. And I think what he has said has been widely reported and very effectively reported. But that's the unfortunate reality. Donald Trump keeps creating news by the things he says and the things that he does. And as outrageous as many people find them, it does make it onto the news cycle.
So if I'm a Bernie supporter, I say, well, then it's your obligation as the media just ignore
him. To repeat?
Him.
No, is it our obligation in the news media to repeat his Bernie Sanders' message and give him equal time in newscasts? I don't think so. And it never has been. You're going to hear that from every politician who is not getting the attention that the opponent is
getting. He has to find a way to tell the message in a different way.
Maybe he should announce his vice presidential candidate. He has to do something dramatic to draw attention back to him.
Yeah.
Or his cabinet.
Which feels artificial for him, but Donald Trump does that naturally.
And of all else fails, hand size.
That's right. That's right. Should hold up his hands.
And
look how big my hands are.
Demonstrate his large hands. He's
my
trustworthy.
Hands are bigger than your hands. Yeah, there you go.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Support comes from Troy Chromatic Concerts, presenting the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra, featuring conductor Dmitry Yablonsky and cello soloist Danielle Okta. March 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, troychromaticconcerts.org. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio, forthillautobody.com. And from Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, since 1996, a web design and internet marketing firm working to help businesses get found on the internet, mannixmarketing.com.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable program and to the panel discussion this morning. Does anybody quite understand the Melissa Harris Perry story?
Well, I've read it.
I realize that this is a media project fodder, but I find this fascinating story.
Yeah.
MSNBC has severed ties with Melissa Harris Perry after the host sent a very critical email and talked to the New York Times and was quite upset that her program was regularly preempted.
Right. Well, she claims they were forcing her out by ignoring her and giving her a sub-important role there. And she made some comments about who she wasn't. And, she talked about some of the stereotypes that occur with people. However, it looks like MSNBC running far third in the great.
That's what's really going on.
And they have made MSNBC trying to boost its ratings has made a number of moves that seem to have impacted unfairly on minority reporters. This woman is black. She's very good, but she is black, and that seems to be the big problem, at least in her view and the view of many of her fans.
Well, they're preempting.
I am not a token mammy or little brown bobblehead. No. I am not owned by NBC executives or MSNBC. I love our show. I want it back.
So you see, she is a well-spoken, outspoken black woman, and that does not bode well in corporate journalism.
Well, yes and no in that you're right. Of course you're right. But on the other hand, I think if she was doing well in the number of watchers, viewers, I don't think this would have ever happened.
Well, what she said was, if you want to end the show, end it. Do it fairly. Like they've ended shows before and say it isn't getting the ratings, it isn't getting the sponsorship it wants, whatever. But this slow drip, 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 taking the show off day after day for lesser programming, it's offensive.
It won't be the first time. It won't be the first time.
But they're losing their diversity. I think that had been their approach to have a lot of diversity on the air, MSNBC, but it hasn't been successful. So now they're breaking in with their stars, their well-known people like Chris Matthews
Maddow.
Mika Brzezinski, Rachel Maddow, and giving them more time doing talking head things
Brian
amongst
Williams.
Each other. Brian Williams is now on there.
Yes.
Yeah,
rehabilitated.
Rehabilitation, yes, that's exactly it. And all of those people I just mentioned are white, and
mostly male,
and they're getting getting a little more ratings that way, and it is hurting the time that the minorities that they have given shows to have had, and other minorities who have programs on MSNBC are also losing airtime, and that's a tough thing. It just speaks
to me a company that deserves to be losing airtime because they have this talented, gifted, devoted woman who's done a really good job. And okay, her show's slipping. Don't you find a place to put her where she can succeed? You don't treat
her
in a way that they're not good at this. And this is
they
why
just think of the Today Show.
Yeah, this is what they did with Ann Curry too. And
that's why I bring it up. They have not learned their lesson.
Right. We'll find a place for you. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they found a place for Brian Williams, and this is it.
Yeah.
I think you're all right, but of course, you ask yourself the question, if you were the executive and you had to sell the time, as we say, it wasn't working.
Yes, Alan, it's a business decision.
Yeah, but Rosemary's point is well taken in that, so you take away the show, but then do you sever her ties completely to the network, or do you keep... realizing that you have a diversity issue.
They have lost her from NBC right now.
Yes.
Do you see that woman ever going back to
NBC?
No, it's been fired.
And I suspect not to other places either.
Well, I hope that's not true.
So now, what is it that you know about her? I mean, did she allow the kind of... would she allow the kind of discussion that would have downgraded her or put her into another place? She went for it.
That must have been the culmination of a lot of little things.
Yeah.
And the relationship hasn't been bad. A couple of years ago, she was at odds with them at MSNBC because of some interview she did. And, it hasn't been a good relationship. As things go, it builds up and then you sort of blurt things out. She's kind of walked back a little bit about what she said, but a little too late.
So meanwhile, in speaking about diversity, let's go to the Oscars last night, which was a was basically a 3.5-hour discussion about diversity in this country, thanks to the host, Chris Rock. It was, I thought it was funny.
He's such a genius. Wow.
I mean, all eyes were on this man as a host as to how he would do and how he would talk about the elephant in the room. And in the
first line,
right,
he brings
a
it
lot.
There.
Yeah, welcome to the White People's Choice Awards. Yeah. So, and then I thought to myself, I started looking at the reviews last night. I didn't find, I think every major news outlet that reviewed that just had raves for the performance that he did. Some questions as to some of the things that, maybe missed.
Girl Scout cookies,
are
you thinking that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of an Ellen-like moment, but it also was something that took away from the other thing, which gave it a little more
He was
balance.
Good. He tried not to just make it all about race, which made the race stuff much more memorable. I think when he went into Compton and began talking to people about the Academy Awards and movies and then gave them the microphone and said, okay, you're making the victory speech at the Academy Awards, what would you say? It was just brilliant.
It was brilliant. It was a bit similar to a bit that he did the last time he hosted, but was very, very funny. And
Whoopi Goldberg appeared
was
in
great.
A number of skits as the black character in movies that had white characters.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Funny. It was very funny.
And I thought, you know, I mean, perhaps one of the most, I want to find it so I get it correct here, but there were two moments in that monologue that were pretty incredible.
Memorable.
One was, he just made the flat out statement that we just want the same opportunities.
Yes.
Which I think was really interesting. Because when he was talking about why we go to the fact that so many people had been boycotting the Oscars and said that this wouldn't have been a problem in the 60s in 62 or 63 because when grandma was being lynched.
Grandma's hanging from a tree. You don't really care about who wins the short form
documentary. Foreign documentary.
Well, that's an interesting enlightened analysis. We have progressed so far that we can focus on things like this instead of on what were much worse situations. So it's acknowledgement that the situation has improved, but there's a long way to go. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
And well, one has to just look at the New York Post this morning and the Daily News. They both have Chris Rock on it with rave reviews on the front page.
I love how he did it. He shut up, didn't address all the calls for him to boycott it, and he worked on this. That was crafted throughout the whole night.
Yeah,
he's a very talented comedian.
I have a friend who boycotted them. She wouldn't watch it, and she goes, "Well, okay, maybe I made a mistake because I watched his opening monologue and it was great." I said, "No, you should have watched the whole thing because it wasn't just at the beginning."
He made it the topic all night.
Meanwhile, there were actually awards given to movies, and
yay, Spotlight, and investigative journalist.
I'm with you.
Spotlight won.
It's a wonderful movie.
It was a wonderful film.
Did you
film.
See it? You've
I
seen,
did.
Yeah,
and
that's
it
great.
Was a movie
wonderful
that
movie.
Was Revenant was widely thought to be the front runner, won.
Director and best actor. That's not bad.
Not bad at all. And
I'm glad Leo got it.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah,
there was a
when
funny...
you say are you mean you don't agree?
No, I do. I agree.
Okay.
No, yeah. I think he is.
I'm not sure. I don't think that was his best role, but he deserved it.
He's been
he's
around
deserved
a long
it
time. He's been doing great work with great directors, and certainly this was as far as an endurance test. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah
and
no,
he gave the best acceptance speech.
Perfect.
Environmental.
By the way, just shut up with the music. What is it with Riot of Valkyries coming in when people are starting to talk about rape
global change?
And for God's sakes,
climate change.
Get over it. The show's already 3.5 hours long. Is 20 more seconds going to make a difference?
Really?
Yeah, that's very awkward when the music
comes horrible.
And the little running, I thought the idea was good, but it didn't work out to put so-and-so thanks the following.
Right.
But they were just saying it anyway. It's like they didn't realize it was there or it didn't work out.
It was a card they filled out years ago.
Yeah.
They were asked not to give the list, and then the list would be along the bottom, but they didn't always have it on. It was kind of kind of bungled.
Okay, that said, the woman who won for costume designing had the worst dress of anybody that night. That was great. But
the leather jacket?
The leather jacket. Yeah, well, I thought it was a denim jacket with a scarf. You know, it's like me. And I loved when Brie Larson won for Best Actress, and she immediately turned around and did high fives with the little boy who was her acting partner. That was great.
Yes, great moment. And it was surprising to see Sylvester Stallone lose. I think he was the one that was thought to be the...
Yeah, did you feel sorry for Sylvester?
I did not, because Mark Rylance gave a magnificent performance in the movie.
Also, the consolation prize is Sylvester Stallone's wife. Holy cow, former model, 45. She had a slit up to her butt, and she was great looking.
His life does not stink.
No, his life does not stink. Yes. I thought people looked beautiful.
Do you want to give any fashion? Were there any?
I think Cate Blanchett and Lady Gaga were my favorites.
Lady Gaga in a pantsuit.
In a pantsuit, but an unusual pantsuit.
Yes.
You know, strikingly white, and she gave a great performance. It was actually a good show. I don't have a lot of complaints about it this year. Boring, a little bit, more staid than usual.
Yeah.
It's always too long, come on.
Alan?
I have nothing.
And we know why.
We have silenced Alan. All right.
Do you have anything, final thoughts on it?
Final thoughts? No, I thought it was a great show. I thought Chris Rock did a great job. Most of the movies that I was rooting for won, so I was happy about that. I was really thrilled to see Spotlight. With the possible exception of, I would have loved to see Kate Winslet win because I thought that performance in Steve Jobs was amazing. But it was also The Danish Girl was great.
Also
it was
good.
Also
yeah,
good
that play. Was a strong category.
But other than that, I just enjoyed watching the show. And I thought and we're out of time, but the sweetest moment I thought was, by the way, kudos to the Academy for the moment that they did with John Williams and honoring him for his 50th nomination.
That was a great station, right?
Which was a beautiful moment because showed it him with his wife. And then later, when the man whose name escapes me right now won for Hateful Eight, he was sitting next to him, very elderly man who won. John Williams was sitting next to him, holding his hand, sort of rooting him on and helping him. And I just thought that was a beautiful moment.
He's a special man. He really
absolutely.
Is.
We're out of time. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Thank you, panelists. We'll be back after this short break.